the Empowerment Journey Podcast. This is Jennifer Bryant, your best-selling author, your award-winning coach, who talks about overcoming personal challenges to achieve professional success. In the last few weeks or several weeks, I've talked to my expert guests about things that they may have overcome in their life or during in their business, and some tips and nuggets of wisdom that they may supply to you. So I have today's guest as Dee Bowden. She founded BCS Solutions, a revenue recovering company, from a personal desire to see small businesses make big money impact. She helps small businesses find money. She believes small businesses fall prey to revenue loss because of poor accounting strategies. So we're going to learn from her today about how businesses can recover revenue. Dee has also been featured in Black Enterprise Magazine in an article, Selling the Money Leak, Leaks Five Ways to Secure Your Cash Flow. Along with her success in financial management, Dee was featured in Thrive Global Magazine in the article Money Matters, Dee Bowden Helps Entrepreneurs Achieve Financial Peace. Dee was an ambassador and digital facilitator for Success Women's Conference, which featured Iyanla Banzat and Gloria Mayfield Banks in 2019 and in 2018, featuring Robin Roberts from Good Morning America and Lisa Nichols. Wow, she has a wealth of background. Dee, welcome to the show. You are talking my favorite subject, which is money. Money.
Well, yes. Well, first of all, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you listen to this fabulous podcast around the world. I am Dee Bowden with BCS Solutions. Jennifer, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to your audience about all things money. Money matters. So let's get into it.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. So small businesses are out there doing their thing. They're mm-hmm. trying to focus on their niche, but they neglect the accounting piece and the record keeping pieces. So share with the audience, like, provide an overview of what you do. What do you do when you go to meet with a small business?
All right. Well, great. I'd like to, if it's okay with you, can I share a story about what I do and how it all kind of ties in?
Absolutely.
Well, I think your audience will appreciate this because it's kind of how I got started in business, and that will incorporate that. So what happened to me was, once upon a time in a place far, far away called Boston, where I'm from, I worked for a small IT firm, and they had $8 million worth of sales on the books, but not in the bank. So you can imagine, to your point about the small businesses are out there selling their products and services, and they're doing great, but they're neglecting the most important part, is that, which is this: the sale is not complete until the money's in the bank. Let me say it again. The sale is not complete until the money is actually in the bank. So I work for this small company. We're talking less than 100 people. You've got sales going on, order taking, et cetera, et cetera. They're an IT firm, so they're selling software. They're selling software licenses. They're selling computers. They're selling mouses, et cetera. The salespeople are doing great. They sell this. They make all these sales. But the salespeople don't make sure that the sale is complete, meaning that the order was processed, the services were provided, and then actually they got paid. So they hire me to collect this money because it's outstanding. And I'm sharing this because if there's a small business that's listening to me right now, you cannot be so focused on chasing the next sale that you don't follow it all the way through and make sure, number one, that you deliver on your sale, that you actually have a good contract, that you actually bill for your services, and you actually get paid. So back to the story. They hire me, they give me $8 million of debt that's outstanding. I collect $6 million in 60 days while working part-time. As great as that is, true story, as great as that is, on October 24th, 2005, the CEO of the small company says, listen, I want to gather everybody together. We need to have a small chat. Now, anybody who's had a relationship, y'all know if somebody says we need to have a chat, that's code for we got a problem.
Correct.
And so we had a big problem in a small business, which was that they made an executive decision and they said, listen, we want to thank everybody for your product. We thank everybody for your services, but we've made an executive decision that we're going to close the company down and you've got 30 minutes to get your stuff and leave the building. Now,
30 minutes.
30 minutes, get your stuff, leave the building. So this is 30 minutes for your life to be totally shattered 2 months before Christmas. Now, the reason I tell that story is that because there are several points that you asked me, what are some of the things that small businesses are doing that they're leaving money on the table? Number one, you're so busy chasing the next sale that you're not making sure that the sale is complete and that the money's in the bank. Number two, you're not following up on any money that's left on the table. This particular company left $8 million on the table until I got there, which is huge.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a true story. I mean, you can Google this. This is a true story. And so because of that, less than 100 people who went to work, you know, for this company thought they, you know, that they were good. But this, all of this happened right 2 months before Christmas. Imagine you go to work for your company and, you know, you 2 months before Christmas and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry to tell y'all, but what had happened was we out. What? And so they're done. And not only that, I mean, it shook me to my core. And what I saw from that lesson was a couple of things. One, the sale is not complete until the money's in the bank, number one. Number two, you have to have systems. I don't care what you use. I happen to be a proponent for Excel. This is not a plug for Microsoft, but let's just use the tool. Let's just be clear. So if you're a small business owner and you're listening to this, you need to make sure that you have a way to track your accounts. You ought to have a tab that says contracts. You ought to have a tab that says the name of your customer. You ought to have a tab that says how much was your contract worth. It could be worth $1, $100, $1,000, doesn't matter. Some place of tracking that. You ought to have how much money is supposed to be billed for the contracts each month, how much money is supposed to come in, and who's the person you need to reach out to if you have a problem getting paid. Those are your simple things that need to happen with every small business, because you're so focused on getting the next sale, the next sale, the next sale. But if you don't take care of the back end, you will end up just like this company, and it's what happened to me personally, and which is why BCS Solutions was founded. It's because of what happened to me personally and the fact that I realized that a lot of small businesses, no one's talking to them about managing the back end of their business, because they're always telling them, oh, yeah, go sell, go sell. Yes, you have to sell, but if you don't manage the back end, you won't be in business long.
Absolutely. And so I appreciate you providing those tips. And I'm just, you know, wondering, with the small businesses, are they as open to say, okay, D, here are my books. Take care of that for me. Like, what?
No.
How do you build
you right
that
now,
rapport
no.
relationship?
I can tell you right now, no. No, ma'am. They're not. And here's why. I personally believe that they are scared. Because here's what I know for sure. If you're in small business doesn't just mean a solopreneur. Small business is, you know, depending upon the size, it could be up to 100 people, 200 people, et cetera. There is, unfortunately with money, there's this, we don't want to talk about it. We know we got a problem, but we don't want to talk about it. We kind of think it's just going to go away. And if I get, basically like this, if I get enough sales, then I don't have to worry about collecting the money. Well, that's not true, because you went into business to do one thing and one thing only, which is to make money. Now, whatever your gifts or talents are, that you use the vehicle to do that, that's what you do. But every time you don't address the money issue, you're leaving money on the table, you're potentially setting yourself up for failure, and you're perpetuating the shame. Now, I also understand this. If you've worked really hard to build that relationship with your customers to get that first sale or second sale or third sale, I get it. It's kind of like if you've made something, you don't want to hand it over to anybody else, because it's like they're not going to do it as good as you because you're concerned about the relationship. And I get that.
Correct.
But mm-hmm. if you keep leaving money on the table and you're too afraid or too ashamed to say, listen, I need to raise my hand and I need help, then you're just perpetuating this crazy cycle. And then you're going to look up and end up like some of the bigger companies. Like last year, you watched Payless Shoes, Charmin Charlie's, some of the Stress Bond stores, some of Pier 1 stores. Right now, let's see, Macy's just said they're closing some stores, et cetera.
Yeah.
Those are large corporations that were small companies at first, but grew. But what the difference between them and the smaller companies is that they grew and they took care of their finances over time. Now, I can't speak to all the things that happened to those companies that decided to close, but my point is that if you don't manage things at the small end as you grow, you can end up like them, because I'm sure there were disconnects that made a Payless Shoes, a Charmin Charlie's, several Dress Bonds, Pier 1, et cetera, decide, listen, we're going to close these stores. And when you close stores, you're closing people's livelihood, how they take care of themselves every single day.
Yeah, you know, when I was working in the federal government, there mm-hmm. were times where, like, I had teams of people where they would do what they call V&V, which was verification and validation of contracts, where we let contracts and we pushed out the contract amount. But what was happening was contractors had up to 5 years to invoice.
Right.
And so my thing was, let's get them to invoice sooner so we
yep.
can reconcile the numbers, right? Because they may come in under and there may be money on the table that can come back into that fiscal year to divert towards more, you know, different mission-related activities.
Exactly.
And they were like, oh, okay. So it's a good practice to have. It's a good problem. Like, y'all leaving money out there. Let's get this money.
It's so interesting that you're talking about this. Excuse me. I'm so interested you're talking about this because that's my first love. That's contract closeout. That's what I do. That's the other piece of collections because contract closeout is collections.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. It's collections at a high level for government agencies, and that's what we do. I do that as well. So I do both. So I've been smiling like I wish you could see my face. You're like, really? You're loving this? I'm like, yes, this is great.
Look, I could talk that same language. Like, look, I thought I left it like a year ago, but every now and then when someone says something, it's like it brings it all back to memory again.
Yeah.
So,
and to that point, just to take it for a quick second, because that's another thing about leaving money on the table. And here's the thing. That's your tax dollars that are being left on the table.
Correct.
That's
correct.
And so the people that do contract closeouts, like myself and others, we're a steward over getting that money back because obviously the faster we can, you know, we can confirm that the contract was awarded, what was dispersed, what was paid, and if there's a ULO, get it back. The faster we can get that money back, and especially before it cancels, if we can get it back in before it expires, you can reuse it. And that's the goal.
Correct. Correct. And that's where
yep.
I was going in terms of the government, the federal government and taxpayers'
mm-hmm.
dollars and getting the money to reuse it. Thanks, D. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break and then I'm going to come back to you and chat with you a little bit more about the importance of legacy building and money and how that relates to it when we come back after the break. Hi, this is Jennifer Bryant, life coach, career coach, consultant, speaker from Reaching Within an Empowerment Journey. Welcome. I want to share with you about my 30-day journal to overcoming personal challenge to achieve professional success. It is a uniquely crafted 30-day interactive journal where I share my story of how I overcame traumatic events and climbed the corporate ranks from clerk typist to executive. This journal provides inspirational quotes, blank pages, and prompts that will empower you to reflect and set goals to achieve personal and professional success. These coaching prompts will help you reach within to balance your life through maintaining a positive attitude and mindset, enhancing self-awareness, managing stress, and handling disappointment. Reach within to regain your power to live your life victoriously and successfully. You can find my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can order it directly from my site at reachingwithinempowerment.com.
Hello, I'm Leonque Chevette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's hot new releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event, hashtag the event. If you want to purchase my book, and you will, it can be found on Amazon.com, and my website at www.leonquechevette.com. That's LAONQUECHAVETE T. LeonCoyChevette.com. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Journey Podcast. I have Dee Bowden here with me talking about how you can recover money in your small business and contract closeout. So it's one of those things like you need to have her on your team to help you to recover money. And also, I'm all about that legacy building. Like, what do we leave to the next generation in terms of being business sound, using sound practices? So, Dee, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this. Now,
okay.
you go in and you show them how to recover their money, but is it a one-time thing or do you set them up with a system that will allow them to continue to recover funds?
I do both, but ideally when companies or government agencies, you know, contact me, they're already usually in a big mess. So, the first thing we're doing is we're going in and dissecting what happened. So because mm-hmm. you can't plan for the future if you don't know what happened in the past.
Correct.
So it's figuring out what happened. Where I call them disconnects. Where were the disconnects? Where were the things that broke down? What didn't you understand about this process? And then let's talk about it. Because sometimes what I've learned in doing this is a lot of people are just told, go get the money, but no one stops to say, do you understand why you have to go get the money? Do you understand the relationship that you have to build in order to get the money? And do you also understand that if you don't course correct this now, you'll keep making the same mistake over and over and over again, and you can't plan for the future, you can't plan for legacy, and you can't plan to not be here again. A lot of times, you know, when you're dealing with money or anything else, a lot of times people won't sit down and say, kind of like, you know, I'm sure audience remembers, you know, the Wizard of Oz, you know, when I think it's Toto, when he pulls back the curtain on the Wiz, and you're like, that's you that's behind all this? It's like, you're the one that's behind all this? Well, yeah, because no one wants to pull back the curtain to expose what's wrong. But you can't plan for legacy and you can't plan for better until you go back and what I call deal with the disconnects, deal with what's wrong, what happened, what didn't you understand? And a lot of times, because people are embarrassed or they're nervous, they think, oh my gosh, I don't know this, they won't raise their hand, they won't say anything, but they'll end up staying in this same spot. And I personally am of this mindset, let's talk. I do what's called collections roundtables. That means, you know, if I come into your company and all your team is having problems with collections, that means nobody has sat down and talked to them as individuals and said, okay, in order for you to be successful in doing this, you need to understand the process. You need to understand the big picture. You need to understand how it works. You can't plan to be successful going forward if you don't understand how come you got in this mess in the first place. And then somebody's got to show you the decency and respect of who you are right now, and then can teach you how to be better. So for legacy building, it's the same thing. People have legacy because they think ahead. Even though they're leaving something behind, they're thinking ahead. You know, we've been hearing a lot about legacy building, and we just heard, unfortunately with Kobe Bryant, everybody's like, oh, what's the legacy that he left? Well, the legacy he left was, number one, his legacy was discipline, focus, hard work, education, family, and owning your mistakes.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes when people think of legacy building, they connect it to money.
It's more than that.
It's more than principles.
Because
principles and values. Yep.
Absolutely. You can't have, if you look at your own family, or anybody who's listening, if you look at your own family, when you take your last name, where, like gold school, you know how it was back in the day. Don't go out there and mess up my good name. And because that, your name was your, you know, we call it branding now, but all that is your reputation.
That's all it is.
But you can't leave a legacy for a good reputation if you're not putting some things in place, meaning you're not putting some principles in place, you're not putting some practices in place, you're not identifying the disconnects and showing people how to correct them. Now, understand this. This is a broad stroke. There's always exceptions to every rule. Like, well, I heard you say, I know what I said, but I'm also explaining that this is broad strokes. There's always exceptions to every rule. But we're talking the basic tenets of what does a legacy include. It includes principles, it includes values, it includes mindset, and it includes beliefs. And also, yes, of course, it includes money. That's the goal. But it isn't just about the money. It's the other things. Because if you don't have the other things, you're not going to know how to manage your money well anyway.
Absolutely. I always say it comes down to your relationship with money and where does it stem from and getting the history behind it. Because we seem to carry that into our business. So that's why I spend so much time trying to develop people personally and seeing how that impacts you professionally. So, Dee, how can the listening audience get in contact with you?
Oh, first of all, before we do that, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity. Actually, if it's okay with you, I have a free gift for your listeners.
Oh, you do? What do you have?
I do. I have a free ebook, and it's actually called Collect the Cash. It's 5 steps to secure your cash flow. They can go to www.collectthecash.biz. That's www.collectthecash.biz. Halfway down the my website, put your first name, last name, email address, and you can download the book right there. And again, it's called Collect the Cash, www.collectthecash.biz. First name, last name, email address. You can download the free ebook, and it actually gives you my personal 5 tips on how to collect your money no matter what line of business you're in. That's the first way. Secondly, staying in touch with me. I'm Dee Boden on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Instagram is actually at Boden D, my last name, first name, but it's Dee Boden, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. And then the website again is www.collectthecash.biz.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. So today's segment has been very informational, and Dee Boden has come in with some great tips. And you definitely want to have her on your team because she helps you to collect that cash so you can stay in business, so you're not one of those companies that, such as Macy's Payless and other companies, that are all of a sudden they wake up and they're out of business. So thanks again, Dee, and thanks to my listening audience for listening to the Empowerment Journey podcast. Again, I'm Jennifer Bryant, and you can connect with me on my website at www.reachingwithinempowerment.com. And my email address is jennifer@reachingwithin.com. Thank you.